Greetings and welcome to Average Joe's Fantasy. I'm your host, Steve Nordyke, and we are halfway through the baseball season. And hopefully you guys are doing well. You know, the season is really freaking long. So at about this time, you'll have players start to fade away and lose interest and start to shift gears towards football. That's where a lot of your league mates are going to end up. So making these trades early in the season, like I was saying, will lead you to better results as everybody's still active. You're able to hit people before they drop out. But now in some of my leagues, meaning I have guys, you know, 3-4 teams that are already dropped out. And you can tell because, number one, they have injured guys starting, or they have guys set on the minor starting. So pay attention to the transaction lists and see who's still active, because a lot of these people are going to be gone. Well, before we get into it here, let me just mention our email, avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com, avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. Also, this coming Sunday, July 8th at 7 o'clock, we have our first annual Average Joe's fan list, fan draft, and I'll be in it. I'm not sure if the Puma is going to be able to make it or not, but I'll be in it, and we have a couple spots left. So if anybody's interested, please email me at the previously mentioned email address, avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. It's a $10 Yahoo League, standard scoring, one quarterback, and hopefully we can make this a yearly thing or maybe even a seasonally thing for different leagues that we're in. I think it'll be pretty fun. All right, let's get into it here. So I drafted two teams beginning of the season before baseball started. One was a live draft, one was a snake draft, and I've been updating them every episode pretty much. And they've been near the bottom half of the leagues. They didn't do very well. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton kind of sunk me. And, well, I have great news to report. Eggs Odorizzi, which was really until the last couple weeks, like 10th, 11th, and 12th, is now in 5th at 65.5 points. We're making progress with pitching, making progress with hitting, and, I mean, really, it's a good team. So I think we should do better. We're behind in our games played. Our outfielders are behind. Our utility spots are behind. So we should be able to catch up that way. It's super important to make sure that you don't finish the season with games remaining. You know, every league is going to have some kind of a games limit, you know, 162 games limit per each position. In innings, you're going to have, I think, 1,400. You have to make sure that you're reaching those limits. You can't finish, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10 games less than your limit. That's just giving away. It's giving away points, giving away money, giving away position. So it's always important to make sure that you're streaming guys in. You know, if you have a couple of these roster spots open, make sure you have somebody that you can pick up, stick in your outfield, you know, for somebody that has an off day or whatever. You have to be able to finish at least for like second base and shortstop with 162 games. Outfield, you should be able to finish with 164 games. And utility, you should have 101 extra game. And innings, you'll have a bunch more. We'll talk about that in August as we start heading down the final stretch here, how to squeeze out a few extra games. Because it's really important. And I've won leagues based on these couple extra games and definitely the extra innings that you can sneak past. So Eggs Odorizzi is in 5th. And moving fast, they're only like six or seven points out of the money, I should say. Tal Sill, however, is moving the opposite direction. They're 9th, 59.5. They are struggling. And that's the league where I've made some trades, and I've gone to the well once too often with a certain team, and now everybody thinks I'm in cahoots with that team and another team, and nobody really will trade with me, which is a little bit depressing. Well, it's a big compliment. They think that I'm in cahoots because my trades are, I'm crushing people in my trades. It's bad because then I'm stuck. I'm not really able to trade. Tal's Hill, Votto has just been brutal all year. I still say trade for Votto, but man, he has just been horrible. Trey Turner has been all right. Great game last night, but he's struggled for most of the year. Justin Upton's been kind of whatever. Gregory Polanco has been crap for most of the year. I traded for Cody Bellinger earlier. He's been crap. I just made a big trade I'll talk about in a second. But I have decent pitching. You know, this team should be all right if I can get out of my own way and stop streaming horrible pitchers. But I did just make a big trade. Like I said, they think I'm in cahoots with a bunch of teams in the league. One of my trades got vetoed for Bryce Harper. I offered David Price and Donaldson a couple weeks ago, vetoed. So then last week I had to up the offer. I offered Aaron Nola and Donaldson. This is before Donaldson's setback. And I got Harper, which is Harper and Tehran, actually, Julio Tehran from Atlanta, which should be a great trade for me. This team, Talis Hill, is 100 innings over. So it's not a place I like to be. And they're also 14 games under the outfield spot. So I need outfielders that can produce, and I don't need pitchers as much. I mean, eventually, you're going to run out of innings, and then your pitchers are going to be worthless. You know, there's going to be players in the league that run out of innings earlier than others. And those are just less people that you can trade with, because pitchers eventually, you know, they're kind of like carbon. They lose their value as the season goes along, progressively lose their value. Every month that goes along, the pitchers get steadily worse. Not worse, just that their value gets less, because you're getting less starts from the pitcher, and you're filling up your innings. So if you're already 50 games over, why would you trade for a starting pitcher? You don't want another starting pitcher. You want to get rid of a starting pitcher. So I like to unload starting pitchers right about now. July is the month to get rid of them. July, the first couple weeks of August, when people still have innings left, when there's still a lot of, there's still, you know, half the league at least is still active. Because I don't want to get stuck with Aaron Nola for the last month of the season and I can't use his last three or four starts because I'm out of innings. That's a bad place to be. So if I can get rid of him now for some good value, I will. And Harper is really rock bottom. Right now, he has been just horrible for the last, like, 6 or 7 weeks. So I'm banking on him being a lottery ticket. And if he hits 25 home runs in the second half, I mean, I could do a lot worse than that. So those are my two teams that I've drafted. Exodorizzi, doing all right, making moves. Talis Hill is struggling because my players are sucking. And even though Votto, you know, he has shown some signs of life with hitting, man, just not hitting home runs. He's been just brutal. Let me talk about some other trades that I've made in different leagues. I traded Arodis Vizcaino for Gary Sanchez straight up, which is a huge trade for me. That was before Sanchez and Vizcaino were hurt. I still think it's a great trade. Vizcaino just came back yesterday, the day before. Sanchez is still out, probably be out until the All-Star break. But that's an amazing trade. I don't have much faith in Vizcaino keeping his job. He may, but the Braves have some serious power arms behind him. So he's not a big loss. And Gary Sanchez is potentially the best hitting catcher. He should be the best hitting catcher, even though he's been struggling a little bit. But I'll make that trade all day long. I also traded Shane Green and Keon Kila for Madison Bumgarner. And again, the league was pretty pissed off. They sent an email out saying, how can you make a trade like that? This is totally unbalanced, whatever. And, you know, that makes me feel good because I'm making trades that are coming back in my direction favorably. Since then, Green's been hurt. Kila gave up a run last night. Who knows if he'll actually be with the Rangers all year. If I was the Rangers, I'd chip him out because they're terrible. Green will probably get traded if he's healthy. But right now he's got some shoulder issues that could be a real problem. And Bumgarner's look pretty good. That team that made that trade needs pitching, needs an ace. And I got one for a couple of guys who are crap. And I picked up a couple of other, like A.J. Minter. He got me a couple saves. Tony Watson, I picked him up. So I'm picking up a bunch of guys who have potential to be saves or potential to get some saves. I also traded Sean Manea for Felipe Vasquez, straight up. This is a team that needs saves. This team is in fourth right now, but really without a closer. I'm hoping I can pick him up during the year. Every time I pick up a guy, he either gets hurt or he gets, you know, annihilated. And this hasn't worked out for me in this league where I can catch up. I'm dead last in saves. I'm only like 7 or 8 behind. So I'm looking to make up 2 or 3 spots here. So Felipe Vasquez, solid bet to help me at least gain 1 or 2 spots, which is really all I need to get the money. Let's see. So let's go with pickups now. People you want to look for on the waiver wire. Johan Camargo has been doing all right. Steven Piscotty has been all right. And these are guys that you could either have on your bench in case, you know, you need to fill in an outfield spot or utility spot or middle infield spot or whatever. Like I said, don't finish the season with games left. If you finish the game with five games left at third base, like you finished at 177 instead of 182, it's a big mistake. Especially if you do that across the board. If you're giving away games, you can't win. You can't. So these are guys to look for when there are off days or there's a day where there's only half the team's playing. Go out and snag some of these guys. Fill them in. Maybe they go 1-for-4 with a run. You know, that's still a run. Maybe they go 0-for-3 with a sac fly RBI. That's one extra RBI. You can win leagues and win money based on one RBI or one run. So Johan Camargo, Stephen Piscotty, Ryan Healy, all nice hitters to plug in. Mark Trumbo, dude hits home runs in bunches. Jake Lamb, Kevin Pillar, Yuli Gurriel, Matt Adams, all nice guys to pick up, plug in, have them on the bottom of your bench. You know, if you have two guys off the next day, and Matt Adams is your plug-in guy, and he's off, drop him. Pick up somebody else. I mean, these aren't guys that are going to win your league for you if you play them every day. Plugging them in help you catch up in games. You know, add maybe, I mean, like I said before, Talis Hill's like, what, 15 games under in their outfield spot? I mean, 15 games. That could be 10 RBI, 3 steals, you know, 4 homers. Those are all things that could bump me up in 1 point in each category. It could be 3 category points right there. So look for those guys in the waiver wire. Please reach your innings limit and your games played limit. Now, if you're looking for pitchers to stream, I'll start off with Carlos Rodon. Nice Ks. Potential to have really, really good games. Rich Hill, the same thing. Also guys with some strikeout potential. Good ERA and whip if the right matchup is there. Ivan Nova, doing pretty good lately. You know, look for him with a good matchup. Mike Leake. He goes in bunches. He goes in spurts. He'll have a nice stretch of 6, 7, 8 starts, and then he'll just fall off the rails. Mike Montgomery, not a lot of Ks, but decent ERA and good whip. Kevin Gausman, high Ks. Has a potential to, you know, 8 innings, 1 run. Also has a potential to give up 8 runs in 1 inning. And Dan Straley, solid if you have the right matchup, you know. I mean, it really depends on who they're playing. But these are all guys that you can use to fill in your innings limit, add some strikeouts. And strikeouts is a pretty easy category to just completely get blown away with, but it's also a good category to come up from behind with by streaming these starters. Same with wins. You know, if you pick the right matchup, it won't hurt your ERA or whip too much. Let's see. Some injured guys. Now, I've mentioned this pretty much every episode. Trade for injured players. They will come back. I mean, the one exception on my list here is Yu Darvish, who I have no idea if he's going to pitch again or not. I mean, he's been a wreck all year. But I would still trade for him. I wouldn't trade much, but I would definitely trade for him. Take a shot, take a flyer, why not? If your team's struggling or if your team's dominating, throw him in your IR spot. I mean, if your team is dominating, if you're ahead, if you're in first, second, or third, and you want to solidify yourself, I mean, the worst thing you can do is if you're in second place, be like, oh, my team's set. I'm just going to change them in and out every day, and then I'm done. That's wrong. Because, you know, the season and the players, they ebb and flow. Season's so damn long, you can have somebody, you know, get one RBI in 1 month, and then hit 32 the next month. So you need to constantly tinker with your lineups. You know, if you have Mitch Haniger and Ozzy Albies and you're sitting in first, you're like, man, these guys are killing. If you could trade them both for Stanton and, I don't know, Jonathan Scope or somebody like that, I mean, you're looking to get an upgrade. Look for guys who are starting to come to life. Like Goldschmidt has been a great example. He's the best player in baseball right now. Right now, he's the hottest hitter in baseball. The first, you know, 2 months, him and Votto were horrible. Terrible. Votto's still been pretty bad. But Goldschmidt has been a league changer. If you were able to deal Haniger and Albies or Haniger and one of these closers like Green or Kila or something like that, I mean, you're all of a sudden went from 8th to 3rd or 2nd. Those are the kinds of trades you're looking for when you're at the top as well. You're not trying to give away the farm, but you're trying to predict the next you know, month ahead. If this guy's going to fall off the edge, or if this guy's starting to slow down, you know, about hitting the rookie wall, or starting to get banged up a little bit, ship him out while they have value. Grab a guy who's starting to come around a little bit, or a guy who is a notoriously slow starter, and keep your team improving all the time. If you're at the bottom, you're looking for lottery tickets, and that's really what it is. you're at the top, you're looking to solidify and maintain and grow your lead. So injured guys can do that. If you're at the top and you have Sean Manet, you know, package him with a closer and go get Syndergaard or Strasburg. Those are guys that when they come back are going to blow Manet away. I mean, they are all about Ks, and they give you innings, and they can give you wins. So injured guys to trade for, pretty much just pitchers. Noah Syndergaard, Steven Strasburg, Chris Archer, Yu Darvish potentially. I'm a little concerned about Darvish. I wouldn't be trading a lot for him. Wouldn't trade any pivotal pieces. Jed Lowry, maybe. I'd do Jed Lowry for Darvish. I think it's a pretty fair trade, unless he's starting for you. But something like that. You know, Jed Lowry's a guy that you could look to move. Yoan Moncada, the same thing. You could look to move him. The one hitter I have is Gary Sanchez on my injured guys trade for list. Because if he comes back and he's healthy, I mean, he could keep 20 home runs the second half. 20 home runs, 60 RBIs. I mean, you could do a lot worse than that from your catcher spot. And that's a season for a lot of guys. So I would definitely be looking to get Sanchez. And I am looking to get Sanchez. I traded for him before he was hurt. And I'm trying to trade for him as well. Now he's hurt. The problem is a lot of guys are like, you know what, screw it. I took him in the second round. I'm riding him to the end. Well, whatever. If that's how a guy wants to run his team, then you know he'll finish eighth. And in September and October, he'll be done. DL spots. Keep those full, and even if it's somebody crappy, even if you're picking up Matt Chapman or Paul DeJong, keep them full. I mean, you never know. Chapman comes back and he lights it up, you know, lights it up the first couple weeks. Great. Paul DeJong sets the world on fire for 2 weeks. Great. Now he has some value. You can move him out, or you can keep him and fill him in. But somebody like Vince Velasquez, Walker Buehler, those are awesome guys to be able to pick up. Somebody drops them because they're frustrated. Somebody drops them because they've already got, you know, a bunch of these other injured guys. Pick them up. I wouldn't put a claim in for Velasquez, but I would for Buehler. All right. Some of the guys that can help you move forward, Max Muncy, Jose Peraza, and Sean Manea. These are all guys that are doing great right now. Muncy, 20 home runs. Holy crap. You know, I got him on like seven teams, which is really sad because my teams are all struggling roto-wise. If you have Muncy, you should be doing a lot better than a lot of my teams are doing. But he's a guy that right now, you take Muncy, you take a decent closer, and you can start, I mean, Muncy for Votto, you can make that happen all day long. And I probably would if I was struggling. If I'm in first, I hopefully have a better first baseman or second. I mean, the nice thing about Muncy is he plays second base, which is great. But if I'm in first, I should have somebody better than Muncy already starting. If I don't, then I probably wouldn't trade him. But maybe I would. Maybe I would package him in a deal for Stanton. I mean, Stanton's the guy that I've been saying over and over again. Stanton, Judge, maybe you can go get Pollock. I don't know if I'd trade him for Muncy because I hate Pollock, but Peraza and Manea for Pollock, that's a good trade. That's a trade that can happen. So you're looking to take some of these guys that have been on fire, Jed Lowry, and you know package them together with either somebody struggling or somebody who's solid, somebody who had some hype coming into the year. And unfortunately, a lot of these pitchers that everybody was hot about and that I loaded my teams up with, like Luis Castillo and Jared Weaver, have just been god-awful. Zach god-awfully, really. And these guys have been terrible. But somebody like Sean Manea, who has been turning it around, and Peraza, Manea and Muncy, you may be able to, I don't know if you could grab somebody like Severino. Severino's been killing, but you could definitely go and grab Strasburg, Syndergaard, easily. Unless the team's in first. If a guy's in first or second and he has Syndergaard in the DL spot, he's not going to trade him. Because he can wait. You know, that team's already in the money. The team's already really good. He can hold on to him. Somebody who's in 7th, 8th, 9th, who's starting to fade, they're going to need players that can play today. They're not looking for the last month or 2 months or 3 months. They need someone that can play in 3 days. Those are the guys you want to hit. Get their injured players from them. I mean, Syndergaard's coming back shortly. Archer should be back shortly. Strasburg should be back shortly. And, you know, and those are players that can turn it around for you. All right. Some of my roto strategies here to come back, which a lot of my teams have come back. I had some teams that were doing really poorly, like Exoterizzi, our team that we drafted. Trading saves, streaming pitchers to make up in innings. You know, saves is the first thing that really needs to go in any league. Whether it's head-to-head, whether it's roto, saves are like a Band-Aid. That's why I trade for them That's why I trade them at the beginning of the year. That's why I draft closers typically, is to ship them out early when my team struggles, or to package them together with somebody and upgrade, or to have them there as like a Band-Aid. I mean, saves are like a first aid kit, for real. You could take them and plug a hole here, plug a hole there, plug a hole here. You know, if you have an outfielder that's out, why not trade Craig Kimbrell for Tommy Pham? You know, that's a great trade. You could do that all day long. You could take Kimbrell and Muncy, Mookie Betts, possibly. Certainly could for Stanton, easy. Certainly could for Judge, Goldschmidt perhaps. You know, these are things that you can do to help your team come back from an injury or come back from a guy who's just been horrible. Take that closer. You can flip him for Pham, or you can try to take him with, Jed Lowry for, I don't know about Lindor, but Correa for sure. I mean, Correa's an injured guy you should definitely be going after. Jed Lowry in a closer for Correa all day long. Head-to-head strategy is the same thing. You know, except in Roto, I'm trying to keep my stud pitchers. I may ship them out for a stud hitter. Like I mentioned, I think, a month ago. Now's the time to be bold in your trades. You know, trade sale for Arenado. Make it happen. But I'm generally not going to punt starting pitching in a Roto league. I'm just not going to give up on it. But in a head-to-head league, I will give up on it. I'll trade all my stud starters and just stream. Because it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you lose two categories, if you lose ERA and WHIP, you're going to win wins. You're going to win strikeouts. If you have saves, you may lose saves. So that's three categories. But really, punting saves is the only one where you're guaranteed to lose. That's why that one goes first. Get rid of your closers. Head-to-head, get rid of your closers. Give up 1 point. Go get either a stud pitcher or, better yet, a stud hitter. If you can get one of these top hitters, because really, like I mentioned an episode previously, adding a hitter on a day off may give you a 1-for-4 with a run, but adding a pitcher could give you 2 starts and 15 Ks in a win. You know, so that can be 3 categories right there that you could win. So on the head-to-head, I'm punting saves first, and then I'm going to completely punt pitching. Trade all my stud starters, go get some big-time hitters, and just stream pitchers. You can pick up guys to give you 2 starts, and you're going to get either, you know, four to seven pickups a week. So you can go ahead and win strikeouts. You can win wins. If you're winning the hitting categories, say you win 4 out of 5 hitting categories, now you're winning 6-4. Not every week your pitchers are going to get destroyed. You're going to have weeks where you pick up 3 or 4 guys, and they all pitch well. So you're going to win WHIP and ERA once in a while. So at worst, you're looking at 5-5. At best, you're looking at 8-2. Really, 8-2, 7-3. And that'll help you climb the ranks. That's what I've done in my teams. I mean, the ones that I can move in and out, I'm keeping some closers just to be competitive. Because I'm doing really well in my head-to-head leagues. I'm not looking to punt saves yet. Two of the ones I was struggling in, both of them were like 10th. On one league, I sat all my closers down. I'm not going to drop them, just help the other team out. But I benched them all and just pick up 2-star pitchers every week. And that team is now in 5th from 10th. Top 6 make the playoffs. The other one is still in 11th. Whatever. 1 out of 2 getting in the money is pretty good. That's all I'm looking for here with these head-to-head teams that are struggling. I'm looking to get them into the playoffs. If you can get the playoffs, it's a whole different ballgame. You know, especially if you can get a bye. But as long as you're in the playoffs, you have a chance to win some money. So getting rid of saves first, getting rid of stud starting pitchers, Kluber, Sale, getting rid of those dudes will really help you out. And you have a potential to win 6-4, 7-3, and you can make up some ground, which is really all you're looking for when you're struggling. You want to be competitive. You want to have a chance to get some money. So let me go over my teams here. 15 of them I've mentioned before. I'm going to tell you where they're all sitting right now so you can see how I'm doing. Roto, I'm not doing very well. Really, it's been kind of a down year for my Roto guys. I have 1 team in the money right now in Roto out of 7, which is not great. I have 7th place, 9th place, 7th place, 5th place, 4th place, 2nd place, 4th place. Now, one of the 4th places was like 10th. a couple, like 6 weeks ago, and they've been crushing. Made some good moves, made some good trades. The other fourth just went in the fourth today. They've been in third for the last like 2 months. They lost a point and they dropped. The second place fluctuates between second and first. And the fifth is Exo Arizi, our team, which has been climbing. So although they're not doing great, maybe like 6 weeks ago, I would have had a couple teams in 10th, 11th, and more in 9th. So there's hope. There's definitely some hope there, although it's pretty bleak. But there is a little bit of hope in the future for these roto teams. Head-to-head wise, we're doing great. Six out of my seven are in the playoffs right now. I have 2nd, 1st, 5th, 1st, 1st, 2nd, 11th. The 11th team is dead. I mean, they're so far behind, they're probably going to be dead. I've done everything I could, and they're terrible. I'm going to keep trying to get up to 6th, because really that's all I'm looking for right now is to get to 6th. So I'm going to keep trying, but that team I don't have much hope for. But the other ones are doing great. And I also have a 20-man league that I'm in, and right now I'm in 5th. Top 3 paid out. I'm only a couple points behind 3rd, so it's not at the end of the world. I'm like 7 points out of 2nd, like 5 out of 3rd, so it's really close. Like, that league is really close. So those are what we're doing right now with our teams. I'm looking, out of these 15, I'm looking to win. Man, I would love to win 4. If I can money in 6 or 7, I'll take that. I should be able to win a couple head-to-head leagues. I should be able to place in the money. I'm hoping 3 roto leagues. So that'd be, 7, 8 teams cashing in. And I'm probably in for 250. Say 20. 15 teams times 20 bucks is $300. They're not all 20. Some are 15, some are 10. So I think I'm in for about 240 total. I win 4 leagues. Now I'm doubling my money, which is pretty good. So that's it for today's episode, really. Hopefully you guys learned a little bit. And don't be afraid to pull that trigger. And being afraid to make a trade is probably the worst thing you can do, because if you just sit there, you're just going to get whittled away. Now, being bold may be scary. It may sink your team, but it also may save your team. And really, that's all you're looking for, is to finish in the money, get your money back, and be successful. Now, I want to mention one trade I didn't mention earlier. I'll mention it now at the end, talking about boldness. My team, the roto team that I have, it's in second, has fluctuated between first and second all year. Team is great. I've got JD Martinez, I got Mookie Betts, I got Nolan Arenado. That team is pretty sick. It was an auction draft. I made a trade last week. June 30th, I made a trade. I traded away Arenado and Chu. Now, the reason I'm in second is because my pitching is dead last. I have like a 1 in ERA and a 2 in WHIP. I'm winning all the hitting categories, 12s. But my pitching is pretty horrible. My saves are all right. I think I'm a 7 or an 8 in saves. But my ERA and WHIP are terrible. My Ks are like a 5. My wins are like a 6 or 7. So I traded Nolan Arenado and Chu. Arenado, I mean, amazing player. Best third baseman. Chu has been good all year long. He's a guy you can also look to package. Chu and Lowry, get you somebody. Because Chu's been good all year. I traded for Kluber and Syndergaard. So Kluber for Arenado is pretty fair. Kluber hasn't been the strikeout machine that he has been in years past. But he's still been getting wins, still pitching good, getting over a K an inning, more or less. And, I mean, he's ranked higher than Arenado is. So that would have been a fair trade, not a trade that I would make, because I think I can stream pitchers and try to make up ERA and WHIP that way. I'm not going to trade away one of the top hitters in the game for just a starting pitcher. Because, like I said, starting pitchers have like a half-life. They start getting less valuable as the season goes on. But I'm under innings. Like 20 innings under. My pitching staff is horrific, made up of guys like Castillo and Jared Weaver, guys who I thought would do well but didn't. So I traded them for Kluber and Syndergaard to give me some solid innings. Syndergaard's coming back. And these two dudes could really bump me up from a 1 in each category or 1 in the 2. I'm looking to finish in 6s and 7s. So they could propel me not only to first, but like a substantial first league. It's a gamble. If Kluber struggles the rest of the year, if Syndergaard is never right, then I just gave away Arenado. And I'm probably going to, there's a potential of me bouncing back, 1 point in home runs, 1 point in RBI, something like that. I've got Miguel Andujar. I've got Jed Lowry that can play third. I've got Max Muncy that can play third. Not a lot of proven hitters there. But I'm hoping that one of them will stick, or the combination of two of them together will stick. This is the boldness that I'm talking about. I'm getting a good trade here. I'm getting two aces, a first and a second round pick, or two late first round picks, or two second round picks, whatever. I'm getting two aces for Arenado. Chu, I don't know. He's a nice player, but you can find guys like Chu. You can't find guys like Kluber, Syndergaard, and Arenado. They are elite special talents. So I'll let you know how that goes. We'll see if it helps me or not. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about with going bold. Just because you're at the top of the league and in the money doesn't mean you stop trading. Doesn't mean you stop trying to improve. You're looking for players who can come back from an injury or who can potentially propel you to even greater heights. So that's what we have today. Thank you for listening. And everybody, have a great weekend. Average Joe's out.